You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
Janny and I just got back from South Africa. I preached last week and didn't take last week to talk about the trip, but we decided that we would today. I want to give you a little bit of a background. I know quite a few of you have been around and heard the stories and know the connections, but I just want to cover it again so that there's clear understanding about our connection with South Africa. Quite a few years ago now, maybe 7, 8 years ago, a man by the name of Rufus Ludig connected with my father-in-law, Brad. And what Rufus is, he owns a large amount of land in South Africa, and he brings in hunters. And of course, Montana is a great market to come to and get hunters and take them into South Africa. But Rufus grew up with tribal black people known as the Xhosa tribe. If you say it correctly, it's Xhosa, Xhosa. Click your tongue off the roof of your mouth. Try that. It's really hard. Xhosa. I've practiced the whole time I was there. And when they talk, they click their tongue is one of their sounds they make. That's good. You did good. That's nice. Don't do it the whole time. But the tribe, like many of the tribes in South Africa, as if you are familiar with history, they were placed under an apartheid government, I believe in the 50s, and there was a lot of segregation there. They were moved to different territories, and so there were separate chunks of land, similar to our reservation in a way, where certain tribes were on certain chunks of land and those kind of things. And so there are still a lot of effects of that there today. The black South Africans, the difference between Montana and South Africa is that the African people outnumber the white people by a lot. I mean, there's something like 22 million, I think, or something like that in South Africa, and only like 3 or 4 are white. So although it has been run by white government, because what had happened is as the English and the Dutch were sailing around the Horn of Africa and settling along the coast, they started to establish cities there. And as you know, in most of the world, when the Europeans moved in, they had more of a structure, they had better weapons, they had more of an established civilization, and so they tended to dominate whoever was in the area, and South Africa was no different in that regard. Coming back to Rufus and his story, he grew up speaking fluent Xhosa because there were Xhosa kids and adults living on the ranch with him, and he loved God. He always a part of the kingdom in some way, shape, or form, and then as he got older, he decided he needed to do something about the Xhosa tribe because it's a very impoverished and just a tough tribe to be a part of, and they're in a tough situation with the poverty and their religious issues. I talked a little bit about that last week, and it's a confused situation.
Green light means on.
Green is go.
I just wanted to back up before we get into too many pictures and slides and just say that I am so grateful that we got to go on this trip together, because it's been a dream of mine for several years now to go to South Africa. Am I talking good in this? Is it good? Okay. I sing in these things, but I don't usually talk in them. So, but anyway, thank you to everybody for sending us with your prayers and support. And it was just so many memories. It was an amazing time. So I just wanted to thank all of you guys for supporting us and praying for us.
Yeah.
And if you wondered how our kids did, because lots of people asked, they did great. My in-laws were amazing and took care of the kids, and I didn't hardly miss them, but you didn't hear that, kids. I started missing them on Easter, because we got back the Thursday after Easter, and I actually prayed that I would not go there just to miss the kids, and so we did really good. We just had such an amazing time together. It was just, it was like every day was a date almost. Like, we just had so much quality time, and And also, as you guys know, if you ever spend too much time with somebody, we were with my parents for 2 weeks, and I love my parents, but I was kind of worried that it, you know, we might get a little tension, but we didn't.
You were worried.
I was worried. I was worried. I was worried for him, but we actually, it was honestly by the grace of God, I felt like we all got along so well. We traveled probably about, put 1,000 miles on this little truck of Rufus's. I mean, we had one person sitting in the back.
Yeah, that's no exaggeration.
It, honestly, on terrible, bumpy dirt roads. So we spent a lot of quality and not so quality time together, but we got along really well, which was just, I was so thankful for that alone, because you know how that can just ruin a trip when you get annoyed with somebody. And so that's, I'm speaking for myself, but I think JR mostly agrees though.
Yeah, it went really well. Any of you that have been on a team mission know that personalities flare up every once in a while and those kind of things. And we were really blessed on this trip to have almost no tension, very little issues with the team. There was Janny and I. There was Janny's parents who live in Kalispell and have been investing in this situation in South Africa for many years. And Brad, who is Janny's dad, was thrilled to have Janny there finally on the ground, because he's really wanted to show her what has caught his heart so many years ago. So, yeah, it was good. We also had Rufus, who I was just telling you about. And we also brought a lady, where Sharon was, near Polson, somewhere between Ronan and Polson, right in there. Anyway, she went to work in an orphanage for 3 weeks, and so she traveled over there with us, and then we dropped her off with a school there in a little town called Alexandria, and she worked there for 3 weeks and then came back home with Brad and Joyce. We came home a week early. 2 weeks is long enough to be gone from your kids and your work life and those kind of things. But so that was... that was good. But what originally connected us with this, I was talking about Rufus and his heart for the Xhosa people. And there's an area of South Africa in the southeast called the Transkei. And, you know, it used to be basically a province or even its own independent area for a while. And the Transkei remains one of the toughest and most impoverished parts of South Africa. And Rufus doesn't live in the Transkei, but he lives nearby. And he, through a long story that I'm not going to explain to you, he ended up in a situation where the Dutch Reformed Church basically allowed him to show the Jesus film, this is 15 years ago, maybe, on the base there. And he started to, and they started to allow him to use the facility there, and so he started to bring hunters to the Transkei from his ranch to raise awareness in the United States, because in his mind he thought, well, you know, the United States has the resources and they have a strong Christian foundation, you know, in the way that they operate. And so he thought, I'm going to go to the United States and I'm going to recruit hunters and I'm going to bring them here and I'm going to show them what's going on and see if God doesn't inspire them to do something. And sure enough, that's what happened. And my father-in-law, Brad, among others, Becky and Owen Voigt, who are, I don't see them here today, but they've been heavily invested. Those of you from way back, I remember the Ritimas, they did one of the trips there to do some remodeling on the building. So basically this mission base out in the middle of the countryside, we've been renovating it, fixing it so that it could be usable by teams to come in. Also, there are people that live there. This photo right here is on the Bambisana base. And there's a lot of characters here that I want to introduce you to. Some of them you may recognize from last year, if you remember anything I had to say last year. It was a while ago. But on the far left, the African guy that's standing up in the black coat, his name is Howard. And Howard was living there last year. Howard is one of a group of young black guys that went through a Bible school that Rufus and some guys from Kalispell put together. Also, those of you that know Aludi Assange, who's come to Helena for many years, visiting various churches, they did a little Bible school there. Howard and several other young men trained up there, and then they went to this Bambisana base, and they started investing in these children, in these after-school programs. They also support a group of women we call the Mamas. And we will, thank you very much, you read my mind, Jen. or somebody did. Thank you. Which I will explain to you further in a minute. I think people kind of try to comprehend, what is this Bombay Sauna base all about? And really, it's a hub, is what it is. It's a hub of various ministries, various churches are involved. We're just one of actually quite a few that have been involved in this situation. But this guy on the right here, Howard, and these are his two little girls. We were there over Easter. And so one of the things you see, it's very common here in the U.S. now, but it's even more so there, is those two girls are the same age by different mothers. And they're both Howard's kids. And the situation in South Africa is messed up in that regard. You have to pay a really heavy dowry to get married. And so most guys that are married don't get married till they're about 40. But a young person like Howard's age or younger, if they're just living according to the culture, I was told later by a pastor there that it's not unusual for them to have 7 to 10 partners at a time. That's why AIDS became so rampant in South Africa, because it was part of the lifestyle and the culture to be extremely sexually active, and so the disease passed quickly. And so Howard has these two girls that are the same age by different moms, and they were visiting him over Easter. And so they had come to the Bombay Sauna base, and they were a lot of fun, these two little girls. Once they realized how to use my iPad, they were just like my kids with the iPad. And, you know, there's programs you can take pictures of your face and then distort it into all sorts of shapes. I had about 200 photos of these two little girls with distorted faces on my iPad. And just had a lot of fun with those little girls there, didn't we? But Howard lives on the base. There's several little rooms and apartment-type things in the buildings and whatnot. And then on the far right is another important person for you to know. Her name is Pumla, and she also trained in Cape Town in a ministry called Jubilani African Ministries. And something that's very unique about Pumla is she is the only Xhosa person from the Transkei, from that area, that is actually working in the base. These other people are from outside the Transkei area. Rufus will tell you she's a miracle. The fact that she's a believer and she's serving at the level that she is on this base is a miracle. And she very well could be one of these mamas we'll talk about here in a minute someday. One thing that we did, I don't know if I told you this publicly, but we purchased a projector, kind of like the ones that are shining on the screen right now. They didn't have one. They do have computers and all those kind of things. I think their laptops were nicer than mine, so they do have some modern things there, but they show kids videos, and they do a lot of after-school homework programs and things like that, and so we took a projector with us over there that they would use, and that was something she had requested, and they were very, very blessed to have it. In fact, once we got it set up, they left it on showing photos and playing music the entire time we were there on the living room wall. They were so thrilled to have it. So you guys blessed them in that way. I just don't know if you knew that. But this is really unique, because last year when I was here, the situation, you know, it just was a little unsettled feeling. It's like, what's going on? Is anything happening? Is there any productivity? And this year, I would say, way better situation. When we got on the Bombay Sauna base, a lot has improved over the year. One of the main reasons is, and I probably talked to you about this last year, but these two people right here, they're a married couple, and their names are Lambo and Nomtu. And one of the things we've really needed on this base is a more permanent missionary couple. We've gotten white couples from Cape Town to come up for 9 months to a year, but given the culture, there's just a very large divide between black and white. And even if you have friendly relationship, there's just issues. One of the attitudes is, okay, you're the white person, you're going to come here, you're going to run the show for a while, and in a year you'll be gone, so I'll just wait you out. And there's not a lot of investment relationally. They're actually very relationally oriented people, And we're tend to be very business-minded and structured in the way we operate, and those two cultures tend to clash significantly when you're trying to build something. So one of the things we've really wanted on the base was an African couple, because they're just going to be a lot more effective, and we needed long-term. And so Lambo and Nomtu are there on a trial basis. They have little kids back at her parents' house while they're trying to figure out whether or not this is going to work for them, because... You know, if you grow up in the city in South Africa, you have a lot of the modern things, conveniences that you and I have. You go out to where this base is and you have a grass roof, it's a little bit concerning about how are my kids going to get raised? Is it safe? Is it healthy? Like one of the things she was concerned about is this grass roof tends to make it dusty in the house. At least that's the perception, and she didn't want to have her baby in there necessarily. She wasn't sure, you know. She's like, can I have my baby? So they're on an interim basis, but even being there the short period of time they have, I think it's really provided some stability to these other people that are living on the base. This young man right here who's hiding, he's got a very fascinating story. His name is Raphael, and he... actually was in an orphanage that you will see pictures of later when he was a kid, and he ran away from the orphanage. And he ended up out here at the Bambisana base as a young adult, and he just started serving and started being discipled and those kind of things. I think he was a tough kid. He would teach the little kids rugby after school. That was his thing. He'd go up to the schools afterwards, and he'd help with homework, and he'd teach rugby. And he was a tough guy. And he seemed a little distrusting of us, honestly, but he had a tough time growing up as a kid and whatnot. And but he's living there on the base with Howard and Pumla. And then these two faces that those of you that have been there before will not recognize. You've got Yogi and Lizzie, and Yogi and Lizzie have degrees in social work, but. Unemployment is extremely high in South Africa, and so what they're doing is they're living on the base as social workers being supported by a church out of Kansas City under a program called One Life. And so they're living on the base right now too. So there's a solid team developing there that's reaching out to the area, serving in both ministry capacities as well as humanitarian stuff. The tall white guy in the back, not me, the guy next to me, is Niku. Yeah. Niku is from Cape Town. His church there in Cape Town has probably been the most significant investor in this situation. And so he was just up for the weekend to see how things were going and hanging out. It was Easter while we were there. And they do Easter for 4 days, and Rufus said, we need to be out of here by the time Easter starts because it gets crazy. And it does. It's a big party. So, yeah, you don't have to ask permission.
Okay.
You can interrupt me whenever
all
you
right.
want.
All right. Oh. I guess I do that at home, so. No, just kidding. So I just wanted to go a little further about our relationship with them. We had such a great time at first. You know, I didn't know these people, but they were all very friendly, very, very loving, kind people at the base. But so my mom and I planned to buy food for, you know, the six of us or five of us. And we knew some of them might need to eat, but they'd plan their own meals. But Becky would tell you this because she's actually cooked at this base too. There's just little stovetop burners, so there's not a lot of great options for cooking and baking. But God really actually multiplied the food because they had all had dinner, but they had second dinner with us and breakfast. And so it was really neat that we got to bless them by just even making food for them. But what actually really did it was we worshiped together that second night that we were there. We just worshiped and prayed. It was just so neat how God can work the same in our lives just as he does in their lives. But just he unified us in worship. And then after that, the gal there in the middle, Nomtu, she and her husband are in the middle there. They taught us this card game called President. I'd never played it. So if you love that game, we need to play it because I need to refresh on it and remember how to play this game. But So we're all sitting there around this table playing games, and it was just like, it was so neat how that, you know, games can help you in relationships, but it just took any level of not knowing each other away. It helped us. I mean, there was absolutely zero racism in that room. Like, it was amazing, actually. It was super fun. I didn't want to go to bed, but I knew I had to go to bed because Rufus drove us hard. Every morning we were up early and on to the next mission. So I just wanted to share that story just because it was so neat. We got to get on that level of fun and laughing and, you know, thank goodness they can speak English and Xhosa and everything else. But
yeah, language was not an issue.
Yeah,
for us.
Not an issue.
And for those of you that don't know Rufus, he's the one in the left, upper left corner of that picture. Go ahead and go to the next picture. So that took us like 10 minutes to go through one picture, and we have 26. So this is just another photo of Lombo and Gnome 2 and Rufus there. I just admire Rufus's preppy style in this picture because that's totally not him, and it's great. But anyway, we're really happy to have this couple. Go ahead and go to the next one. All right, after we get to the base, we get to know the team that's working there. Probably one of the most significant things that's happening, and you've heard me talk about it before, is the mamas. And what the mamas are these African women like Mama Christina here, who at some point in their time had gained a compassion or a heart for their own people and wanted to do something for the kids, because you have lots of parents that die of AIDS, and so you have lots of kids that are living with extended families and this kind of thing, food issues, abuse issues, those kind of things. And so what they, these mamas, I don't know, how many mamas did they say they knew of? And it's pretty loose, at least 8 soup kitchen situations, but more mamas than that, yeah. And what they do is they, kids will come after school, they'll come on the weekend. Westerners have built facilities to help them do after-school programs like feeding, like soup kitchen or tutoring, things like that. But Mama Christina is probably who we personally have had the most significant connection with as a church, along with some of the other groups in Montana. That little boy there, she adopted. And I don't know how she decided to adopt one out of the 100 that show up at her house, but she did. There are times that the funding is not good, and she snuck some of her own family's money and made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the kids because they struggle for funding.
She actually, almost every day after school, they're supposed to get some food at school on school days, but then after school they come to her place to get more tutoring help. And her heart and her vision is that if she can't help them unless they're fed, and she can't feed them unless they come. So she knows that if they come, she wants to have food from, even if it's a little bit of a sandwich. So she only gets funding currently, from my understanding, on the weekends and on holidays when they don't have school to help these kids get a bowl of soup or whatever she makes them. So I'd love for her, those kids, to eat every day, and so would she. But she, I think, kind of does use some of her own money for that.
Yeah, it is one of the things that, you know, people in the West that have money to support people, orphans or these mamas, it actually, when it comes to the orphanage, and we'll talk about this later, it's very easy to raise money for orphans. If I show you pictures of orphans, you guys will raise all kinds of money to take care of those kids. But to take care of the people that take care of the kids is harder to raise funds for. And people like Rufus or Lombo and Gnome 2, who just need to survive so they can do the work, it's harder to raise funds for people like that and have them be sustained. And Mama Christina runs into that. The next mama that we'll show you. Go ahead and go to the next slide. We'll get there. Here's just a picture of some kids there at Mama Christina's place. They are rolling old rubber tires. And that's their fun. You see, if you look closely, I saw quite a bit of this, and I'm not sure why, but the kid's wearing irrigation boots. Not much different. You see a little Montana ranch kid running around with those same boots on. So that was interesting. You can see there's a fairly large plot of land there. Go ahead and go to the next one. as you probably know, if you've traveled to Africa or other places with lots of little kids that don't get lots of attention, you pay attention to one, you're paying attention to them all. I have a video of them basically smothering me.
It happened every time we were with the kids. They love JR's goatee. They just thought it was such a unique, weird thing.
Half of them were scared of it. They'd want to touch it, and they wouldn't. Particularly the really little ones, you know.
One thing my mom warned me of is if you start picking them up, they're all going to want you to pick them up, and it's really hard to do. Like, and after a while, you don't care that they're dirty and have snot coming out their nose. You just want to hold them and love them. But once you start, you know, and eventually they'll let you go. But they swarm around you, especially at the orphanage. They really love you paying attention to them.
These mamas are out in the countryside. And in fact, let's show that video, Jeff, of these videos are not great. But I just, even though they're not great, I think it helps you kind of get an idea of the landscape and things like that. Go ahead. You can actually see it's quite a lot of contour to the Transkei, and it's speckled with these little buildings all over. And pretty soon you're going to see humans going flying by. Yep.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. Kids walk right on the side of the highway, and adults. I don't know why 100 are killed every day.
And cows, goats.
Donkeys. Like I told you last week, they're not eating the cows. They're raising them to sacrifice them to the ancestors. But you can see it's all countryside, and they're just speckled with all these homes. If you go to Google Earth, if you use Google Earth and you zoom in on the Transkei, you just see little blue and orange and green dots all across the countryside of their homes. They seem to like certain colors, I noticed, too. But these mamas are out in these rural areas, and usually start out in a rondavel, a round mud or concrete building with a grass roof. Mama Christina has, you can see these cinder blocks in the back. She has a little bit nicer facility that's been built for her. She doesn't live there. She comes there and does the work. Go ahead and go to the next slide. This is Mama Christina's daughter. Mama Christina had her head covered, and so you didn't see the gray hair under there, but she's older than you would think, but this is her daughter. What's her name?
Her daughter, I think it's also like Nomi or...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
She's actually has grandkids. This woman does. So that's how young they are when they keep having kids. She's in her 40s and has grandkids. So one thing that my mom and I had planned to do before we left, and we encouraged those of you that wanted to bring supplies, and we gave them vitamins, Band-Aids, Neosporin. We also brought...
Suitcase full.
Yeah, a whole suitcase full that we left just at this place for Christina and her daughter Nomi. But we brought... This gal Nomi has a preschool, a cute little preschool hut that she brings the kids to, and so it was really, really cute and decorated in there for the kids. But they were so overjoyed. I brought all of the mamas a scarf, just went to Goodwill, you know, and bought a cute scarf. So she's wearing hers. Christina was wearing the one I got for her. And, you know, just this little amount of supplies, these crayons and pencils, some coloring books. You would think it was 10 Christmases for them. They were so excited. We left them with a suitcase, and they were just thrilled to even have a suitcase to use for whatever, you know, they could find a purpose
for.
Yeah,
they were excited about the suitcase.
Super excited about all that.
Which
so
I got for
thank
$8
you to those of you that brought stuff, because they were in heaven. I mean, that smile, she just could not stop thanking us, and Mama Christina as well.
Yeah. You know, we were there last year and did something similar. John and Jonas, remember? And, but I don't know that anything's been done for them since. It's just hard to get there. It's hard to logistically... make things happen. You can't just wire money to people there. It just doesn't work that way. And so they were very blessed for us to show up with the supplies we did. Now, these people that live at the Bambisana base, they make sure that supplies are being taken out to these mamas, like Mama Christina, making sure that she has supplies to make food for the kids on the days that she can. And so that's why it's important that this Bambisana base that we've invested in stays functional, is so that there are logistics taking place to take care of the mamas. Because what the mamas do without these younger people helping them out, they get in these taxi van things. Taxi is a big business there. It's kind of like the mob, you know, instead of white-collar crime. You're a taxi driver in South Africa. And so anyway, long story. But they'll cram like 20 people in this van that should only have 8, and they drive down into the city. They buy a bunch of supplies, get back on a taxi with all these supplies and 20 other people and out to the countryside. And it's just a nightmare to try and accomplish that. So it's really helpful that these young people that are living at the Bambisana base are assisting and making sure these mamas are getting the things they need. Now, there's a story. I told you this story last year, but I want to tell you again because it really impacted me. There was a couple from Great Falls a few years ago that had traveled with Janny's dad and a group out there, and they were out at one of these, they went out to visit one of these mamas during one of the feeding times. And when they got there, and they had been struggling, like, what are we doing here? What's our purpose? You know, sometimes when you go on a trip like that, you kind of can get frustrated after a while if you don't feel like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're kind of on African time, which takes on a whole new meaning when you're there. I'll tell you more about that in a bit. But they got there and found Mama Nomakaya feeding each kid one bite at a time. So a kid would get in line, one bite. Next kid, one bite, because that's all she had to feed them. She didn't have enough to give them each a bowl of whatever it was she had made that day. And when the couple saw this, they alone have supported this soup kitchen by themselves ever since. And it's not that expensive. But it's impacting to see. Janny mentioned that, you know, kids' food is a way into people's lives. It's a ministry. Because if the kids come to eat, you have a voice with them about their schoolwork, about their spiritual lives, about what's going on at home. You can see if they have head lice and need their head shaved. You can see if they need to take some sort of dewormer or something like that. You know, you observe their health. And hopefully eventually, like Mama Christina's daughter, catch a vision for their own people. And, you know, because these mamas aren't going to be around forever. And so hopefully that's going from one generation to another. Go ahead and go to the next one. This is inside Mama Christina's building. It's in the soup kitchen. You see the burners that were purchased for her on the right-hand wall there. You see Mama Christina's getting ready to start cooking. You see Noam 2 and Joyce. And the woman in the middle is, we call her Mama Nomi. Noam Tandu, I believe, is how you say her real name. Go ahead and switch to the next slide. Now, this lady, in my mind, could be Mother Teresa. She just doesn't have the publicity. And there are probably lots of people on the earth like this who have served their entire lives sacrificially, without accolade, without being celebrated. And she is the reason most of these mamas exist. She discipled them. She served them. I don't know what to say. I mean, she is the mama. She's made a difference in this region by reaching these women. And she's getting ready to retire, and she is not going to be living in that area. She's going to go back to her hometown, wherever that is. She's lived her whole life, as far as I know, but she will be leaving the region, and so that's going to be a... But it's okay. You know, there's a generation rising up, too, underneath her, and so you just respect this woman. You know, it's significant. Go ahead and go to the next slide. That lady on the far left is the other mama that I've met before on my last trip and this trip. Nomakaya is her name. We went to her place, and that's Noam Tandu on the right, too, Mama Nomi. And that's my mother-in-law, Joyce, in the middle. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So we went out to Nomakaya's. You may recognize from last year's where John and Jonas were blowing bubbles and stirring up the kids and same place. Actually, this picture is kind of funny. This is where they're feeding the kids. They start, you see the bigger kids are standing over here. The little kids are getting to eat first because they had a lot of extra kids show up today because white people were in the village And so they drew a bigger crowd than normal, so they fed the little kids first until they ran out of food. You see some goofy American back here? There was a little dog that kept crossing the fence and coming in, and he was starving himself. Little puppy. And these kids are sitting on the ground with their bowls of food, and that puppy would wait for the opportunity to jump in that bowl and grab their food. And of course, I was having none of it, so I grabbed the dog, and then I realized after I grabbed the dog that it probably had fleas and rabies and everything else, and so I'm holding it, and I go over back to its owner's place and drop it on the other side of the fence, and it just crawls right back under the fence. And so I had this little war going on with this puppy the whole time.
Yeah, I had to tell him, you're going to make a scene, just stop. And then finally, there was a man that was helping the mamas, and he knew how to get that dog out of there. So
yeah, with a stick.
But yeah, the dog actually did steal some of the kids' food, so then they got a refill. I was glad they were able to get a refill because anyway. Babies need to eat.
Yeah.
One thing that really, that I really grabbed onto that's amazing, by the time we got to this village, I mean, we are an hour. It took us at least an hour of driving to get there. I mean, it is a heck of a long ways away from anybody that owns a car. So when we get to this place, there were about 6 extra mamas there, and what we didn't realize why they were there is because they were hoping to have a meeting with us to get more more soup kitchens started. And we didn't realize that till we were leaving, why they were there. But the problem with that is because it's so far away from the Bambisana base, and One Life already has, you know, other projects they're working with, that it's not a matter of raising the money to support a soup club or soup kitchen, because, I mean, what does it take, $100 a month?
Yeah, so to $120 feed all, or $200.
$120, $150 a month to just support one. And there's currently about 8 or 9 of them right now, but that's not so much the issue. The issue is having somebody like Rufus or the One Life people drive up there to deliver the supplies for it. So it just becomes really, it's just something to pray about. That's what I told my dad, is we really just need to keep praying about this, you know, that something will get figured out to help feeding these kids, because there are so many kids that are still hungry that don't live close enough to go to these other current soup kitchens. So That's why Rufus really, I just fell in love with this man. I knew him a little bit through my dad, but just spending every day with him, I really got to see all sides of him. He's very ornery. He's hilariously fun. But he really cares about these people, and but he's doing everything he can. I mean, he needs new tires now because his tires are so worn out from all the driving he does. So that's one thing that I'm like, I just want to buy him new tires. He needs new tires every year with these, you know, these horrible roads that he drives and all
miles,
the places that he goes.
And anyway.
So anyway, we need to keep moving.
Yeah, next slide. A lot of kids there.
That's them.
A lot of kids. This is the same place. Keep going. Some of you saw this picture on Facebook that I posted of Janny holding this baby boy that fell asleep. And I did this. That same thing happened to me, the boy in the lower right at a different town. He was just so tired, and he would just hang on to my pant leg. And he's a little guy, you know. It's just hard to wrap your mind around. But so I just picked him up, and he zonked out right on my shoulder. You know, our kids, we'd have him down for a nap around here, but I don't know where he lived or where he came from. There were no adults there, you know, just piles of kids. And so I just held him for a minute, and he zonked out. And Janny did the same thing with that little boy in the next village. So they affection, I don't know. I don't know if it's the safety and the affection and the comfort they feel just by picking one of them up, that they're just a piece and out they go. Go ahead and go to the next one. So we left Bambisana after a couple of days, and we put on a lot of miles. I mean, we traveled so much. I wouldn't do it that way again. We traveled so much. It was crazy. Had a mattress in the back of Rufus's pickup truck, and him and I would rock, paper, scissors for who got to ride in the back on the mattress. So, now, shifting gears here, we have been working with a network of churches called Regions Beyond, as most of you know. Last year, I was able to connect with this gentleman right here, Paul Simpson is his name, and Paul is involved with overseeing 25 little churches in the Transkei. So it was a major, major God connection for us to connect with a guy that's living in the area, doing a work that is succeeding and thriving. And so while we were in the Transkei, we spent several days with Paul and his family. I had spent time with Paul last year in South Africa in Clarens, a different part of the country, as well as in Dubai when I was there last November. Paul was there with some of his leaders for a conference. And so we went towards the coast. As you can see, we were spoiled rotten with our scenery. That's the ocean, the Indian Ocean in the background. Gets real rain. This is only about 30 miles from Bambisana to the coast. And it just turns rainforest as you get close to the ocean. It's phenomenal, beautiful. But we sat here that day and visited with Paul. And this is his right-hand man here, Leon. Leon is colored. Colored is an acceptable word in South Africa, and it refers to people that are both black and white, that they have both parents or grandparents of both races. And Leon grew up in the city, and he is hilarious. I love Leon. You'd think he was an American black guy, the way he talks and jokes with you and everything else. Great guy. But he really has a heart for God and to see the kingdom extended, and he's working very hard alongside Paul. Paul is a working machine, we came to find out. But he's also joining Regions Beyond as we have, and so we're both coming together at the same time. It's a really important relationship for us and our future in South Africa, because going just to do small construction projects is not enough. One of our things, our vision for missions is that we want to go to build, not necessarily literally build a building. We want to build a long-term work, a long-term ministry wherever we're doing missions internationally. We don't want to just go for 2 weeks, be blessed, oh, that was a life-changing experience, and come home and go on about our lives. We want to have an awareness that right now in South Africa, there's a mama feeding a group of kids, you know, or it's not a far-off distance thing. It's our extended family. And we want to continue in that relationship and to build with. And Paul is a great avenue for that to happen. Go ahead in the next slide. Now, Paul is huge. I come up to about here on Paul. He's 6'7". And that's his wife, Shannon. That's Leon. And that's a lady named Liz. And Liz is another one of these mama types. You know, she actually had a significant hand on establishing a number of the churches that Paul oversees. And Paul and Shannon have two little boys, Aaron on the far right, and Caleb, and Kizzy is the little girl there, and then they just adopted Kara, the little black girl that Kizzy is holding. And she was adorable. Go ahead and go to the next slide. This is the very first church that Paul planted. This church is in a place called Go Hang Yourself. Mahenge. And that's literally what it means. And it was a town built by the government up on this hill with no facilities, no electricity, no running water, no toilets, nothing. They just built these homes, and it's a place where the overflow of the poverty from some of the local communities go. So if you lost everything, had nowhere to go, homeless, you would end up here. As you can imagine, given the name, they have a high suicide rate. Over the last few years, it's a highly transient community. People go there and they don't want to stay there. They're trying to get out of there, but it's starting to establish itself as a regular community. This church has been very successful there, which is unusual for the Transkei. I spoke there that night. Speaking of African time, church starts at 6 in the evening, which means it starts at 7:30. No exaggeration. That was probably about 6 o'clock right there when church was supposed to start. There was nobody there.
Two people. They decide to start it when there's enough people to start it.
Like when that might be an hour from now, and it might be 2 hours from now. And it could go to 8 or it could go to 10. Just depends. Very much more flexible society, much more loose schedule. Actually, there's getting to be a significant Muslim presence in this village as well. The Muslims have come in and drilled a couple of wells and established a mosque. And so we saw several African people in traditional Muslim dress. Yep, next slide. That was that night praying for a lady after I preached. Went really, really well. It was a lot of fun preaching through a translator. And it's just interesting, no matter where you go, the gospel is the gospel, and the extended family of God is the family of God. And you recognize that, and it's encouraging.
Just real briefly, after JR had preached, or maybe before he had preached, they wanted each of us, me and my parents and Rufus, introduce ourselves, give a quick little testimony if we had one. So before JR came up to speak, the whole church came up and prayed for us. It was just amazing. They just prayed and prayed and prayed, and they finally, the pastor there had to start cutting them off and saying, okay, that's good. But, I mean, my mom was so humbled. This very disabled man, I mean, he could walk, but he was very crippled up, and he was just praying his little heart out for her. And she just wanted to pray. She just started praying for him, and it was just very humbling. They're such a kind, loving people. They accepted us, and everybody greeted you with hugs. And so it was amazing. It was so fun to be in their church. Their worship was, I just loved it. I wish I could have known all the words and sang along with them, but it was beautiful.
It was fun. Go ahead in the next slide. I just threw this photo in here to show you this kind of a typical housing situation. A lot of little buildings like this. Very green, semi-tropical. At Port St. John's is where this was. Go ahead to the next one. We were staying right on the mouth of a river where it goes into the ocean. Like I said, they really celebrate Easter. And you can discern the word Easter up there in the corner. But this is a sandbar, so when the tide's out, all the kids, they're swimming out to there and playing on the sandbar, and then the tide comes in and it's underwater. And anyway, this is right from the front porch of where we stayed with Paul and Shannon. Her parents' vacation home is what this is, but they base out of there a good chunk of the year because of all the churches they have in the area. Go ahead to the next. Just some fun photos. That's Aaron with a fish. Aaron would make a good Montana boy. He wants to fish all day long. And every time he caught a fish, he'd run up the hill and show us his catch. And he was thrilled every time. Now, a lady had caught these lobsters out on the reef the morning, brought them up to the house, and offered to sell them to us. We bought all those lobster things for $20. I told them in the U.S. you'd pay $20 for one of these. We barbecued him that afternoon. You can see his other son, Caleb, is less excited about the giant crawdad. This is a picture of me on the beach there, just a beautiful area. Go ahead to the next one. There you go. After we had spent several days with Paul and Shannon, getting to know them and know their heart, they're very much like us, really enjoyed them. We had a vacation day, half day anyway, in a place called Haga Haga. I was there last year. What happens is the tide comes in and fills this pool with ocean water, and the tide goes out. People go out and swim in that little pool. I went at low tide, went way out. That reef gets way out there. There were surfers out there. There were dolphins with the surfers. There was an octopus that a fisherman caught, and so we got close and personal with a little octopus. He was only about this big, but he had little suction cups, and he'd grip onto you really well. So that's a little freakish for a Montana guy, but they weren't too worried about it. Go ahead to the next slide. Went back to the ranch, had an Easter service with some of Rufus's neighbors. The ranch is a beautiful place. I had not been there before. But we just had a good time. See the thorns in the lower right? Those are the thorns of the acacia tree. I suddenly realized how they actually made a crown of thorns for Jesus. I brought four of those thorns back. They're just gnarly, and those trees are everywhere. But they got a flexible branch with really long thorns, and so you could see how they could do something like that. The caption of this picture right here is, JR, are you smiling? Yeah, I'm smiling. Hey, you didn't smile. Let's take another one. JR, are you smiling? Yes, I'm smiling. That's not a smile. That literally was our conversation in that particular moment. Okay, next slide. Also wanted to introduce you to a warthog. His name's Bacon. When he was a baby warthog, Rufus found him out in the wild with a broken leg. They mended him up. I get out of the truck and set my suitcase on the ground, and here comes a warthog who knocks over my suitcase and starts pushing it around with his nose looking for food in my suitcase. Like, what in the world is going on here? Anyway, Bacon is a pain. He's ornery. He's half tame. I mean, he's not scared of us, but he doesn't live at the house. He goes out into the bush at night. He's got a little hog hole somewhere out there. They dig holes and they back into the hole, and that's where they live. So he goes out in the wild at night. I don't know that anybody knows where he actually lives. He just shows up in the morning, being a pain. And he's not eating the dog there. That him and this dog love each other. And so he's licking the dog. And so that dog's name is Lewis. Or is that Clark? There's Lewis and Clark are the name of the dog. That's Clark. Africa, Lewis and Clark. Not, that didn't make sense to me, but whatever. That's Rufus. So the pig would lick the dog, and the dog was having a good old time. And I don't know why the pig would lick the dog, but it was really... Now, if you left your door open to your room, because they're kind of like apartments, almost like a drive-up motel, where you would park in Rufus's ranch and you'd stay in an individual room. Well, if you leave the door open, the pig will go into your bedroom and look for stuff to eat. Brad, Janny's dad, was very angry with the pig because Rufus had a life-size mount of one of the types of animal. I just forgot the name of it. Very cool animal, but it was a life-size mount with landscaping and fake grass. The pig ate the fake grass off the full-size mount, so he was not popular with Mr. Rao. He was kind of nerve-wracking, the pig. You weren't sure if he was going to bite you or sniff your leg or what in the world. He had little tusks, you know, and so he looked like Pumbaa. He didn't bite anybody, as far as I knew. Of course, you'd hear the cook in the kitchen start hollering and yelling, and you hear these little hooves going down the hardwood floor down the hallway and out the front door of the house because she's running him out of the house. And yeah, he was the entertainment, that's for sure. He's ornery, though. There is some hunting. Now, the reason I'm showing you hunting pictures is because I know not all of us are hunters, and it can be controversial for some people, but it is actually a really big deal for Rufus to get hunters over to South Africa. First of all, he makes a living off of it, and not a great one. You guy's got a big ranch, and he brings over hunters. You think he makes lots of money? He does not. And a lot of it he spends traveling back out to the Transkei, making sure that things are happening. He's kind of the champion for these mamas and for the Balmisana base. And so it's important for us to keep in mind that if you're into hunting or you know other people that are, this is the way to go, because it's connected with ministry. Now this right here, I have to show this to you. This is Rufus's hunting rig, and you sit on benches up here, and I wish there was like a howitzer mounted to the top, but there's not. This is my mother-in-law in a bathrobe. And I told her if she gave me too much of a bad time, I was going to embarrass her. And so I just showed my entire congregation my mother-in-law in a bathrobe. So be sure and give her a hard time about that when you see her.
Please don't.
Janny is the amazing huntress who did not shoot bacon, but she did shoot a warthog. They eat these animals. Rufus needed more meat for the hunters that were coming, so he said, go out and shoot us some stuff to eat. So we shot a warthog and a female kudu for some good meat. That black guy next to me is Voyani, who is Rufus's right-hand man on the ranch. Okay, go to the next slide. This is the orphanage. We're going to run out of time. And stories. So go ahead. That's that lady is... I just totally spit. Molly. And Molly's crazy lady that started this orphanage. And sometimes during the week we'll have 100 children in this place, although she has like 60 that live there. Go ahead to the next slide. These kids have more hope than the kids we see out in the Transkei. There's some light in their eyes, and they get fed. They were happy that day because they had chicken feet and heads for lunch, and so they were quite happy about that.
That last little girl there that was holding the smaller one, her name is Victoria, and she just, I wanted to take her home. She and my Gracie would have been best buds, but she was so, so sweet. They all just, I mean,
and those
happy kids. I mean, they don't have much, but they're happy. They're full of life, and it was.
The orphanage is a significantly awesome work, what Molly does. Go ahead. That's just them. After that, we went on a kind of a photo safari. That sign says, "Beware of lions, alight from vehicle at own risk." And, of course, we had to get our picture taken with that sign. And so that was fun. Would you play that lion video, please?
Not a small one.
I videoed this and just happened to catch it.
No, I do. While you're figuring that out, that picture on the left was on the wall of my motel room. Those of you that know, we like to teach about the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That just brought me an entirely new revelation about what actually happened in the Garden of Eden. I'm sure there's some deep spiritual meaning there, but I'm not sure what it is yet. All right, here we go. We were that close.
That way she gets to eat first.
With no windows, an open safari car right there.
Typically, normally the male will eat first, and when the male is completed, then the female can eat. Even though the female does most of the hunting. So basically, the female hunts. When the hunting is completed, then the male has preference of the food before the female may feed.
Oh,
the
nerve.
And then all this. Joyce said, oh, the nerve.
It's a bliss button.
The female gets to eat second after the dominant male, and then the immature male gets to eat third. He's taking his chance, the guide just said. Now watch.
Yeah.
See on the females and also the young male, you can see it at the moment.
Oh my goodness.
I nearly wet my own pants.
And you can tell I'm startled because my phone slips down and I was so mad that I dropped my phone a little bit, but I didn't know if he was charging at us or, I mean, it was just so quick. And
yeah, we knew he was back around the corner, but he was running off that immature male because he needs to wait till mom's done eating, then he gets to eat. And he was invading her space, and so Big Papa jumped in and said, "Buzz off, pal, till mom's done." And he was so fast, and you can kind of hear him growl in that video, but in real life right there, oh, wow. It was so cool.
After that, though, I decided I love lions now. I just think he was so beautiful. I took so many pictures of him. But we saw everything. We saw elephants, giraffes, zebras, ostrich. I mean, all these different animals in the wild. So it was a really fun thing we got to do.
I did want to end today on a spiritual note. Jesus is not white. That's Jesus in that picture. So we've got a picture with the black Jesus. I love it. That photo I showed you last year, I couldn't wait to get out to where this was painted on the wall and show my wife and get a picture with Jesus. This is actually at the preschool that Mama Christina has painted on the outside of the house. So, what's that?
I know we're a little over time. I just wanted to share one last bit about the orphanage. You saw Molly there and all those kids, and I know that several of you families do support these orphans, and it's just, I just want you to know that it is, they are getting very well taken care of. They still could use monthly support. I don't want to give a big promotion about that at all, but if you have it in your heart, like, what can I do? I think it's about $30 a month to support these orphans, and I know some of you are already doing that, and it's just, it's amazing. She started this orphanage. It was just their home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing, it was it like 15, 18 years ago? They
started
with their first three
their
young...
Their story is crazy.
Their first three young boys, and now those boys are grown adults. One of them just asked her what her favorite color of car would be, and he surprised her and bought her a car. And it's just like, you know, and not that's not why she did it, but she totally reaped what she sowed there with those kids. And she will never turn away a child. She committed... 12, 14 years ago that she will never turn away a child that needs a home. So that's why she has so many kids. They've expanded their home, and they've got a large piece of property. They've got some foster homes above that
a mama actually
lives there with 6 or 7 of the kiddos and takes care of them overnight, and then the other kids stay in the main house. But it's just a great work.
It is their house. I mean, I want you to imagine your American-sized house with 50 kids living in it.
I decided I'm a very selfish person after leaving there, because she wipes their noses with her with a Kleenex, and then a few minutes later she wiped her own nose. And
like a mom would.
Yeah, she's their mom, and they call her mom, and she really genuinely loves them all as her own kids.
And in your living room filled with bunk beds, and your kitchen, and your downstairs, and your bedroom with 8 other bunk beds in it, and it's just... you think about when you get rewarded in heaven, and we know that, you know, I just like to always imagine that God's going to give me a little cabin by a river somewhere in heaven. That's really what I want. And I realize that there are people in the world that God will bless. I mean, they are living a lifestyle of sacrifice and borderline insanity to serve others. It's just phenomenal. Well, we ran way over time this morning, and you guys, thanks. Thanks for being patient with us running over, but have a great week.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app, available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.